Genesis 49. And we'll start reading, please, at verse number 8. The Bible said, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah's a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up early, The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. You can be seated. Father, give us wisdom tonight. I pray, God, we'd rightly divide the word of truth. We wouldn't add anything to it nor take anything away from it. I pray you'd open our minds of understanding that we will comprehend, realize, and accept, and just believe what you have to say. Lord, may we not add any of our theology to it or our thoughts, but Lord, may we rightly divide the word of God. And we'll thank you for what you accomplish in our heart. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now this morning I told you that some of these preachers that preach this, that salvation in the Old Testament is faith and works, they will tell you that the Old Testament people did not know about Christ. Well, they didn't know him in the fullness, but they knew that somebody was coming. They had the promise of a Redeemer, and I'm going to prove that again tonight in some things. But before we left the service this morning, we proved that Jonah knowed about it, Adam knowed about it, Abel knowed about it, and he'd give his life for it. Abraham knowed about it, Rahab knowed about it. And tonight, I'm going to give you a list of them here. Judah knowed about it here. Because it said in verse number 10, the scepter, that's the rod of ruling. In other words, he's going to rule and not depart from Judah. So it's coming down. Do you remember what line or the tribe of Judah? You know that who that? That's Jesus that come that way. And he was of the tribe of Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. He came. And nor a lawgiver between his feet. He said, until Shiloh come. That's the Savior when he comes. So they may not have known about the cross. They may not have known about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. If they had, they would have recognized it when it happened. But they were looking for a Redeemer, somebody that's going to come and pull things together. So by faith, they look for it. And so we see that tonight here. And so I wanted to point that out. So now we've got Judah we can add to the list. And Jacob, not Judah, but Jacob. You'll go up there and see it talking about Judah. Judah's the son of Jacob. So we look at those and he's laid it out. Let's slip over a little bit to some, I'm going to go back and forth in the Old Testament. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 7. To say tonight that the Old Testament prophets and the Old Testament saints didn't know about the coming of the Lord Jesus tonight is, I want to tell you, contradictory. Because the Lord has given them something to say. Isaiah chapter 7, please. And verse number 14, Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah the man of God says this, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Let me just throw this in before I get into this. There's a lot of things I don't know about what's going to happen after the rapture of the church. I can tell you from what I know in the Word of God, some things has been told to me, but it may not come out exactly like I think it's going to come out. And I give you the best of my ability to tell you, and there are some things I may miss. And I understand that because we haven't been there. And thank God I won't be there. But I can also tell you this. They could not get in the Old Testament and tell you everything is going to happen because they didn't even see the church, period. They didn't even see the day of grace. They're looking for the Lord to come or for somebody to come that's going to establish them. They did not see a 2,000 year period here between the time, amen, Jesus was born and before, you know, the rapture took place. They didn't see that. So, but they looked that there's something going to happen. And I can say this. I can say by faith, I look forward and I know what's going to happen to some degree. Right? I may not dot all the I's. I may not cross all the T's. But I know something's going to happen. Amen. And the best of my ability, I can explain some of it. And so could they. And I may miss some of it, but I want to give you some things that these boys did not miss. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which we find in Matthew is God with us. Hey, Isaiah said he's coming. Several hundred years went from the time of Abraham. We're going to go back before that in a little bit. But several hundred years happened and, before Isaiah come through. And he said, hey, I want to tell you, the birth Shiloh or whoever it is, the woman's seed that we talked about, this, he's going to be born of a virgin. Amen. That's exciting, isn't it? Now go to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, Isaiah says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Do you not think tonight that Isaiah knew, he may not have known exactly everything about it, but he knew somebody was coming, did he not? And his name, knew as a man, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. Amen. And upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with the judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah said he's going to be born of a virgin and the government's going to be on his shoulder. Amen and amen. And he's going to sit on his father David's throne. Abraham went out looking for a city, and by faith he kept looking and died before he found it. And Isaiah come along and prophesied he's still coming, and he died before he came. Amen and amen. And just to give you something else more specific, and they'll talk about, things, and they'll add it around. But turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53 has 12 verses. Isaiah 53 is a picture of the Christ coming and the salvation of the Lord. And if you want to deal with a Jew and try to win him to God, Isaiah 53 is where you need to go. Isaiah 53 will let him see it. The Bible said, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Amen. We're not finding anything about faith and works here. We're finding faith that they believe that. In verse number 2 he said, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Who is this talking about? Talking about Christ. Amen. The Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah is prophesying he's going to come with by and through the means of a virgin. Secondly, he's going to be have the government be set upon the throne of David. He's going to sit there. And he's going to have the government of the people upon him. The government of the world upon him. He hasn't got there yet. But he has come, and he's talking about him here, and he's going to grow up as a tender plant, and we can go all the way down through it. And I'm not going to read all that chapter tonight because I've got a lot to say. But go home and read that. That whole chapter will tell you that Christ, amen, is revealed here. Now I want you to turn back. We're going backwards this time, and go to the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, We want to go to chapter 22. Now, we've got other places in the book of Psalms we'll give you tonight too as well. But in Psalms 22, we look at this Psalm 22, and he says, the first verse in Psalm 22 is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is that familiar? Isn't that what Jesus said on the cross of Calvary? David is explaining the death of Christ on the cross. These fellows saw this. They might not have known all the details of it and all the sacrifices they offered. It wasn't to keep them saved or to get them saved. They'd offered those sacrifices because this morning, as I established, it was a blood sacrifice that God intended for it to be, which pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were doing that by faith, trusting that the Lamb was coming. Now, they may not have known all the details, but they knew somebody was coming. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Now, if you'll go on down and see in this 22nd chapter of Psalm, this is talking about the crucifixion of the Son of God. Read it when you get home. Amen. You got a lot of homework. Amen. I've done read it several times, and you got a lot of homework. It won't hurt you. It didn't hurt me. Hadn't hurt people in the past. It'll do you good to study about it. Amen. There's a Christ in the Old Testament. Can I turn now with me tonight to chapter 51 of the book of Psalms? Now you remember David got out of kilter. God touched him, and he killed his baby for the sin that David had committed. But in chapter 51, we call it the penitential psalm. It may not be a good word for it, but it's the psalm that David is repenting of. But I just want to use one verse. That's another good chapter to go home tonight and read. Chapter 51 of the book of Psalms. But we want to go down to verse number 12. And here's what David said. David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Huh? What did he say? Thy salvation. He's letting us know that salvation is of the Lord, as I tried to tell you this morning. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. David recognized where his salvation come from, and he recognized it was from the Lord. Now, let's back up to Psalm chapter 32. We are back and forth tonight. Psalm 32, the reason is because the Lord gave me something else, and I go back and forth. I usually try to keep in chronological order, but not this time. Amen. Been too deep. Amen. Involved in it too much. In Psalm chapter 32, read verse 1 and 2, the Bible said, Psalm 32 and verse 1, he said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now I want to tell you something, and we're going to talk about this in just a minute. I may just jump down there and get it, but verse 2 said, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth, or giveth, or gives over to you, imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. David recognized where his righteousness come from. He was saved by the grace of God. Now I want to throw this at you, and we're going to talk about this as mentioned in the scriptures, but the word saints is mentioned in the Bible. Now in the Old Testament, You say, the Old Testament people were not born again. Well, they are now. They weren't then. How come they weren't then? Because the blood that was offered by the lambs and the goats and the bullocks did not wash away sin. It only covered sin. And when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, and was out there, Mary came and said, going to touch him. And he said, touch me not, I'm not of it ascended up into heaven. Brother, the blood hadn't been laid on the mercy seat. But when it was put on the mercy seat, God forgave them and covered, not only covered their sin, but washed their sin away. They're born again now. Amen. Amen. That's a lot of things that people overlook. Now, they were only covered, their sins was only covered till Jesus came. Now, in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, we call the Old Testament saints, we call them saints. Now, the word saints is mentioned 34 times in the Bible, or 34 verses. It may be mentioned more times than that. It may have saints more than once in the verse. But it's mentioned 95 times. 34 times in the Old Testament. This is significant. You can find saints in the Old Testament 34 times. And in the New Testament, you can find saints as 61 times. Which is a total of 95 times. And by the way, Old Testament saints and New Testament saints and tribulation saints, you find that word saints mentioned 13 times in the book of Revelation alone. So that's carried from all of these times. Amen. Now, I don't have no problem with this. The word saint is mentioned three times in the Bible, two times in the Old Testament, and one time in the New Testament. Saint. Now, let's just look at it. Psalm 106. Psalm 106 tonight. I kind of jumped ahead, but I think I needed to do that. The Bible said in Psalm 106, verse 16, they envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, notice this, what is that? The saint of the Lord. Amen. Can you see that? The saint of the Lord. That's what Old Testament saints are called. Philippians is the last one it mentions in Psalm 106, 16, Daniel chapter 8, verse 13, and Philippians chapter 4 and verse 21, the word saint is mentioned. Now we know today or tonight that David is added to the list. Now let's move a little bit further just to show you that these people that say, well, they didn't know. See if you can find the book of Micah tonight. It's a little hard to find, but turn to the book of Micah. I'll give you time to turn there. If you can find Jonah, go to on over, and you'll find Micah. And when you get to Micah, we're going to go to the fifth chapter. Micah chapter 5, he's called... What do they call them? Minor prophets. Not minor to me. Amen. In our modern day, he's a small preacher. That's the way they look at it. Big preachers are well known, you know. Micah's not well known. You get that? I'm glad God don't look at us like that. I'm not well known to a lot of people, but I'm glad God knows me as much as he does the big boys. Hallelujah. Is that right? Now, Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. Micah may not have known much, but here's what he said. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Nobody could fit the bill but Christ. And he's going to be born in Bethlehem. He's one of the Old Testament prophets. Did he not know something? Yes. Amen. Brother, I'll tell you right now, you said all this don't have nothing to do with works. Well, just hang on. Daniel chapter 9. Look at Daniel chapter 9. We'll find in Daniel 9 verse 25 and 26. We've talked about these in the last little while. In a prophetic manner. It's still prophetic here. But we want to look and see who Daniel was looking for. The Bible said in chapter 9 verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah. You see that word Messiah? Daniel was looking for a Messiah. Those Jews are still looking for a Messiah. They're praying for him. They rejected the real Messiah, didn't recognize him, and didn't accept him, and they said, away with him. He said, Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. Verse 26 says, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. And that's the Lord going to be crucified. Hear me? All right, Daniel knowed something about him coming, didn't he? Don't tell me these Old Testament saints were ignorant and didn't know anything about the grace of God. They might not know the grace. Listen, they experienced grace. We'll look at that a little bit in just a minute. Amen. People were saved in the Old Testament by grace through faith. Grace is just unmerited, unearned favor, something you don't deserve and something you can't earn. And God just bestows it on you. My salvation, I didn't earn it. I couldn't earn it. You didn't earn it. And you couldn't earn it. There's not anything you could do. You had nothing to give Him. In my hands, I had nothing to bring. When I was born, I come into this world with nothing, and I'm leaving with nothing. I may pack my casket, for, well, I won't, but somebody might could pack my casket with all my, I couldn't say put all my junk in there because I got too much, but if they packed it, it wouldn't, but I still would leave this world with nothing. Amen. I'm going to give these boys something to think about. They may get rid of it that way. Bury it all. Amen. But just think about this. Daniel, note about it. Back up to the book of Ruth, please. Ruth is the 8th book of the Bible. If you don't know where it's at, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua and Judges. And then we come to the book of Ruth. 4 little chapters. But when we get to the book of Ruth, chapter 4, I want you to know that Ruth knowed something about it. Boaz knowed something about it. It said, then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, ho, such a one. Turn aside, sit down. And he turned aside and sat down. And it goes on that the one to redeem, and it talks about it in verse number 6. And the Bible said, and the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Then the Bible said in verse 8, therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. And this is a type of the kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, that would come one day and buy back every person that's been in corruption that repented. Does this make sense? Amen. I don't have a bit of problem with it tonight. So now we've got one more added to it. Now we've got Jacob, Isaiah, David, Micah, Daniel, Ruth, Boaz. And I'll give you one more. And I could give you more. And I don't want to spend all night on this. I believe what I preach today ought to clarify and settle a lot of things in your heart. In Job chapter 19. Job's supposed to be the oldest book in the Bible, at least they tell me. I don't know where they get that information. And I've looked at some of the stuff they said, but I don't understand that. But look at Job chapter 19 and verse 25. Job said, For I know. Isn't it good that you know? Isn't it a good thing that God's people know? Job said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Job wasn't blind. He knew somebody was coming. He lived by faith, trusted it. You don't find no works to get there. You don't find no works to stay there. The devil has always started off in trying to make the plan of salvation in the hands of man. And when he does that, he lorates God's great, marvelous plan. And anytime you hear have a preacher say that it's by works and faith, mark them off. Yeah. Right. Amen. I mark them off. I really do. Amen. They don't sway me none. Now I want to look at these words, and then we'll just go on. I told you these words this morning. There's the word atonement. Atonement, and I'll break it down, it means at one meant. Break it down into three little separate words or three little group of syllables, it said a or at one meant. Atonement simply means that God is making him and you one, or me and God one. That's what the atonement is. And it would come through blood. And I'll just give you these, and this is something, every one of these words is something you can go home and study. I wish we could take every word and break it down. Oh, man, I broke some of them down, and it blesses my heart to read every verse. At woman or atonement, it's mentioned 70 times in the Bible, or 70 verses, I should say. When I say 70 times, it could have been mentioned two or three times in one verse. I didn't count them that way. It's at least in these verses 70 times in the Bible. 69 of those times in the word atonement is mentioned in the Old Testament. And only one time in the New Testament. Now what does that tell you? That tells you that God had a plan in the Old Testament to bring man and God together. And he did it through the blood, and you study that. The word redeem is mentioned 40 times, or 40 verses in the Bible contains the word redeem. Out of them 40 times, 38 of them times are mentioned in the Old Testament, and two times in the New Testament. You'll find that more of them's in the Old than the New. Why? Because God told them he is going to redeem was the thought. That's important. God didn't just play around with words. The word redeemer, we read it a while ago in Ruth. But redeemer, the word redeemer is mentioned 18 times or 18 verses of the Bible. How many of them you think's in the Old Testament? 18. The word redeemer is not in the New Testament. So when these people did what they did, they were by faith trusting and looking for a redeemer. Somebody that was going to buy them. You see, the law tonight redeemed. Every period of years, if you had sold anything, become a slave to something, that was a day that you could redeem yourself and be bought back. And the Christ bought us all back. Amen. Now the word redemption, that changes a little bit here. The word redemption is mentioned 20 times in the Bible, or 20 verses. 9 times in the book, or in the Old Testament, and 11 times in the New. So you find that to redeem by the Redeemer that brings redemption is Old and New Testament. And all my redemption and all their redemption was not purchased nor bought nor worked for nor earned. God redeemed the Old Testament people. God redeems the New Testament people. And God redeems the tribulation saints. Are you with me? Now I want to tell you, if you don't get this straight, you're going to mess. If you can't get them two verses I talked about that the whole Bible hinges on this morning, on Genesis chapter 3:20 and chapter 3:15, you don't get that settled and get that squared up tonight, you might as well throw the other 65 books of your Bible away. Yeah. Amen. If you can't get them two verses that he's going to bruise, the seed of the woman's going to bruise the head, and the head's going to bruise the heel, and where God killed innocent animals and covered them with skins. If you can't get that, might as well take the other 65 books and throw them away, because your Bible is not right. So it all hinges off of that one book. And of course, you don't have to throw nothing away because it works. The word sacrifice is mentioned 225 times in the Bible, and 202 of them are in the Old Testament, and 23 of them are in the New Testament. The word blood, 317 times in the Bible, 282 times in the Old Testament, and 93 times in the New Testament. And I just wanted to throw this in, 17 times the word blood is mentioned in the book of Revelation. So the New Testament saints, the Old Testament saints, and the tribulation saints are dealt with by blood. Amen. The word grace is mentioned 159 times in the Bible, 37 times in the Old Testament, 122 times in the New Testament. Somebody said the Old Testament was not, people weren't saved by grace. Oh yeah, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I can give you others, but I'm going to go on. And then we talked about the word saints a while ago. Now the word faith. The word faith is mentioned 231 times. And it's mentioned two times in the Old Testament and 229 times in the New. See? It's not faith. No, but the word believed is throughout the Old Testament. That's what faith is. I said in the Sunday school this morning, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I've summed it up and said that faith is just simply believing God. That's the simplest I could put it to you tonight. And Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, Revelation chapter 2, verse 19, Revelation chapter 13, verse 10, and Revelation chapter 14, verse 12 talks about faith. Huh? What about that? The word works, mentioned 224 times, 115 times in the Old Testament, and 109 times in the New Testament. Somebody said, well, we know we're not saved by works, we're saved by faith. We know the Old Testament's not saved by works, they're saved by faith as well. That's right. Well, you said, where would you get works in the New Testament? I know a lot of people think that they went to the baptismal pool and they think that's saved. That's works. Joined the church. That's works. Doing good. That's works. Paying tithes. That's works. But we don't do that because we're looking for salvation or to stay saved. We do that because of obedience to the Lord and we love Him. And it don't help my salvation a bit. It may help my rewards. I could give all the money I've got tonight to the church, and that wouldn't help my salvation. Amen. If I didn't brag about it, it might help my rewards. Amen. Well, let's go on. Faith and works go hand in hand. And I said this morning, I'll say it again tonight. Works is the proof of your salvation. And it's the proof of your faith. Amen. If you don't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't have no desire for the church. You'll have no desire for the word. You'll have no desire to witness. You'll have no desire to live right and clean. Now the doctrine of Satan is always to try to involve man and get him to help save himself. But you know what God said? He's got a big sign on the Word of God here. Hands off! This is my plan for man. What do you think you can do to help a God tonight that can do anything and everything? What could you do to help save somebody? Nothing. What could you do to help God save you? Nothing. The Old Testament saints couldn't either. They weren't something special. They were human flesh like you and me. Right? All right. Now the false teachers just simply do not rightly divide the word of truth. I got just a few more minutes. I'm going to go over to the book of Romans. We're going to look at the scriptures and I'm going to let you take these home and read them. Amen. Notice I said I'd let you. Well, you probably won't, but I'd ask for you to if you will. Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter number 3, And here's where it gets into it to tell us a little bit that we need to know. We want to go to Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. The Bible said in Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law, that's works if you're reading it right, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So sin, the law just tells you that you're a sinner. And we can give you some scripture on that in just a minute. We'll read it. But the Bible said in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. See there? It's by grace and faith and not works. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. I take that for be Old Testament, New Testament, and tribulation saints. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is that talking about Old Testament people and tribulation people as well as the church? Sure it is. The Bible said, and we know by the curse, that we have all become sinners. We were born into sin. And that didn't just start at the day of grace. It started from the first child. Well, it actually started through Adam and Eve, but it actually started through the first child of Cain and Abel. We talked about that today. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith. Through faith. Look at this. Through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. Do you not believe tonight that if it's supposed to be by works, that God would have said by propitiation through faith and works in his blood or so forth or something of that nature? He didn't say that. Amen. Now we won't go any further on that. And by the way, somebody said the law and all that. Did you know Abraham believed? In Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 6, he believed God and is accounted unto him for righteousness. But Abraham believed God 400 years before the law came. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. 400 years before the law. Abraham wasn't in the day of the law. People think he was. The law didn't show up to when? Exodus chapter 19, when Moses went up on the mountain and got the law on two tables of stone. Then man was under the law. Does this make sense? Plain enough, isn't it? Now go to Galatians chapter number 3. I'll take time and do these things. That way I won't have to come back and preach on it again Wednesday unless I just get the hankering to do it. Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter number 3, the Bible said in verse number 6. Galatians 3, 6. And God uses Abraham a lot. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Didn't say Abraham worked and believed. He believed. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Didn't say anything about works there either, did it? And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, not works, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now that's what Abraham had. That's what Abraham was looking for, that all nations are going to be blessed through me. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Faith in every one of those verses. You see that? No works in any of it. Now look at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law. No man's justified just as if you'd not committed sin by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. He explains it pretty good. You said, oh, I about had enough of that. Amen. Well, you ain't got enough yet. I'm still through. I ain't through. I'll load your wagon good. We won't be back here for a while. I'm going to close this dock and let you back up to another one next time. How about that? Habakkuk chapter 2. The old British preacher say Habakkuk. Then we'll forget a light. First time I ever heard that fellow said, turn to Habakkuk. And I had to think a little bit quick on my feet. What's he talking about? Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 4. The Bible said in chapter 2 verse 4 of Habakkuk, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Can I tell you that's Old Testament? Amen. You say, well, preacher, you done proved your point. Well, I'm going to prove some more. Galatians chapter 3, we were there a while ago. Go to verse 17. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 17, it said, in this I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. And you need to read the rest of that down through there, because it said in verse number 24 this, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith, not faith in works. Now you said that's New Testament. Yeah, but Old Testament, that's why they live too. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. We're not under the law, because we got faith now. And we're not to keep the law. And that's not, and they had it, they did that by faith, kept the law, which is works, but that didn't save them. You said we don't have all, no, we don't. But you know what you do? You're to separate yourself from the world. Present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. You're to walk right, talk right, live right, look right. Amen. Be right. Amen. And that's the same thing that they did over there, except we don't have the law now. God has put these ordinances in for us to live. Right. You said, what about the commandments? Are they dead and gone? No, they're fulfilled. Yeah. They came to Jesus and said, do we now keep which commandments? The great and the greatest commandment. Which one is it? Because they wanted to pin it down. And he said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, mind, body, and spirit. And then he said this, and the second was like unto this, love thy neighbor as thyself. Boy, didn't he put the load on us. It's hard to love your neighbor like you do yourself. Now let's go to Romans chapter 4. I'm going to give you two more scriptures, and then I'm going to let you go. Romans chapter 4. Now we looked at these this morning, chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, and I'm just going to mention them. We find Abraham and we find David, but I want us to go to verse number 13. In chapter 4, he said, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of what? Faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. You know why? You don't know anything about it. Ignorance. The law is what tells you you're got sin. Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, do you think if God put faith in her that much and it had some works to go along, don't you think God to put a little bit of that in there too?
That's right.
One more place. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. This is the capstone of the whole two sermons I preached this morning and tonight. Now we're going to read what I can see of it, and I may skip some of it, but let's look at it. In Hebrews chapter 11, it said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's faith. And verse 2 said, For by it the elders obtained a good report. Amen. And then he said in verse 3, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." We know there's a creation by faith. Now look at these. In verse 4, "By faith Abel," you see that? "Offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice." Look at verse 5, "By faith Enoch" was translated. But verse 6, he said, "But without faith it is impossible to please him." Don't you think tonight he'd say, "Without faith and works," if that's what he meant? "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Verse 7 said, "By faith Noah, being warned of God." Verse 8 said, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed." Verse 9 said, "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise." Then he said in verse 11, "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed." And we'll find how that God has put that in there. And he's put it in there, that word faith. We go on a little bit further in verse 17. "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son." Verse 20. "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau." Verse 21, "By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped." Verse 22, "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel." Verse 23, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months." Verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years." Verse 27, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king." Verse 28, "Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood." Verse 29, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land." Verse 30, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down." Where's the works? Verse 31, "By faith the harlot of Rahab perished not with them." I done mentioned her before. And look at verse 33, and he gives some before that. He said, he talks about these. Well, let's read verse 32 or we'll miss it. "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions." He goes on to tell what else they did. And these all, amen, had faith. And then Paul sums it up in verse 39. "And these all," every one of those, "if the having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." Amen. But they died believing it's coming. God having provided some better thing for us, that they which without us should not be made perfect. That finishes up chapter 11. Now there are some things we could do and go to Revelation, but I'll spare you tonight. I believe you done surely by now know enough. In the tribulation, we could go to the book of Revelation and carry this on for a while. So I believe if you'll be constant, and I don't believe we've got anybody in here that would differ with what I'm saying. I believe that we're saved by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Old Testament saints were saved by grace through faith. And tribulation saints, I start to say retribulation, but that ain't it. In tribulation saints will be saved by faith. Amen. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to say thank you, Lord, for my salvation. That's what the Old Testament saints will say. And that's what the tribulation saints will say. We've been redeemed through the blood by one Savior, by one means, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll stop right there. Heads bowed.